This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, February 28th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at the ongoing debate over anti-gun measures in the Illinois House. Yesterday, members of the House debated two such measures in a legislative hearing. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana that has things warming up a bit in a couple of days. But first, a look at today's news. As Champaign braces for unofficial St. Patrick's Day, Mayor Jerry Schweihart wants to revisit the idea of raising the age requirement for entering a bar to 21, the same as the legal drinking age. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Currently, 19 and 20-year-olds may enter Champaign bars but aren't supposed to drink there. Mayor Jerry Schweihart says the fact that many of them do drink in bars anyway may be a good enough reason to limit bar admission to those actually old enough to drink legally.
If the state wants to make it the drinking age 19, that's fine with me. I don't care. But right now, the drinking age is 21, and as liquor commissioner, that's what I got to enforce, and that's what I believe in. So that's why I would vote for 21 entry age into the bar.
But Councilman Mike Ledoux says raising the bar entry age to 21 would only send underage drinking to apartments and other places with even less supervision.
There would be no pretense of regulation or regulatory access. There would be no pretense of fire marshal oversight or the danger of exceeding occupancy limits or being carded or having to run any kind of gauntlet of regulatory authority.
Mayor Schweihart says he'll probably bring a proposal to raise the bar entry age to 21 to the Champaign City Council in the next couple of months. He thinks it will fail, but at least would put council members' views on the record. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The University of Illinois is reporting a second case of bacterial meningitis in as many weeks. The U of I reports a recent graduate was hospitalized last night in Urbana. Dr. Robert Palinkas of McKinley Health Center says they've contacted people who may have come in close contact with the ex-student and will provide them with an antibiotic. A female student was hospitalized with the illness last Wednesday and released this week. Bacterial meningitis is a potentially fatal infection of the fluid surrounding the spinal cord and brain with symptoms including a high fever, stiff neck, and headache. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich says he doesn't know why he's mentioned in the upcoming fraud trial of a top fundraiser. A federal judge identified Blagojevich this week as public official A in the trial against Tony Rezko. Rezko is charged with a scheme to divert kickbacks from state contractors to Blagojevich's campaign fund. Speaking to reporters after appearing at Northern Illinois University, the governor maintained that he didn't know much about the case and didn't think he should comment on it.
My reaction is, it doesn't matter what letter of the alphabet it is. What was described there doesn't describe me or how I do things.
Prosecutors claim Blagojevich promised to hand out state money in exchange for loyalty or help in fundraising. Rezko's trial starts Monday in Chicago. The governor says he's too busy being governor to follow it. Meanwhile, Northern Illinois University will tear down the building where five students were shot to death nearly 2 weeks ago. Susan Stevens has details of yesterday's announcement.
Cole Hall stands empty. Classes have been moved to other buildings, but students can't avoid passing the site of the February 14th shootings since it's right in the center of campus. NIU President John Peters says that will change this spring when it's torn down.
What I've heard from students and parents is that site ought to be consecrated, that we ought to not put anything on that site.
Peters was joined by Governor Rod Blagojevich for the announcement outside Cole Hall. The plan is to build a state-of-the-art facility called Memorial Hall nearby.
We're going to build a new building so the students here at Northern Illinois University can go to a classroom where they can learn their lessons in a way that will prepare them for the world beyond college.
Governor Blagojevich pledges to come up with $40 million for the new building. That could be difficult in a state where a long list of other projects has been on hold for 9 years because of budget problems. I'm Susan Stevens.
A member of Barack Obama's Senate staff says the upcoming presidential election will be an historic one, no matter who wins. U of I Law School alumnus Michael Stroutmanis is Obama's chief counsel and has also worked on his presidential campaign. He says the possibility of that Americans will elect their first female or African American president is just part of what makes this election historic. Stratmanis says he's never seen as great a degree of public interest in the presidential race as he's seen this year.
I remember sort of being the oddball at the family reunion, you know, the one who was always talking about the details of politics. Now I have family members talking to me about superdelegates. There is an intensity in this electorate now, and I think that intensity will carry on past the election and into the hard work of governing. And my history books tell me that when that happens, big things change in this country.
Stratmanis says that as president, Obama would tap into the intense interest among voters by seeking their direct input as he develops his White House policies. Stratmanis, who earned his U of I law degree in 1994, returned to the Urbana campus to give a talk sponsored by the Black Law Students Association. It's another comeback for the big money tax swap, with the state budget in shambles. Supporters of a major income tax increase in Illinois are pushing for lawmakers to take another look at the hotly debated idea. The plan to raise the state income tax in exchange for lowering local property taxes cleared its first hurdle yesterday as the Senate Education Committee approved it 6-3. But major questions remain about the idea, including how to overcome the governor's objections and political uneasiness about a big tax hike in an election year. Chuck Hartke, who spent more than 18 years in the Illinois House before becoming director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture in 2003, is stepping down. Hartke submitted his resignation to Governor Rod Blagojevich on February 17th and will leave the post officially tomorrow. He told the State Journal Register he's resigning to spend more time with his ailing wife, and in part because it's time. Hartke says he leaves the job, which pays $128,394 annually, with mixed emotions. He says he made a lot of friends, he said, but there remains much to do. Hartke, a former president of the Effingham County Pork Producers, became a member of the House in 1985. An Eastern Illinois National Guardsman is headed to federal prison after stealing more than $30,000 worth of military equipment. Federal Judge Michael McCuskey has sentenced 39-year-old Patrick Fitzsimmons to a month in prison and 5 months of home confinement. The Potomac man pleaded guilty in October to one count of stealing military equipment. Authorities say he stole a sophisticated weapons sight, night vision goggles, and other gear. Fitzsimmons says he stole the goggles at a pawn shop for $200. He sold them at the pawn shop for $200. He then tried to pawn the scope, leading the shop owner to call the FBI. Urbana's mayor wants to start a discussion over how the city and its residents can do their part to preserve resources. The city has already started looking at streetlight power use, energy efficiency in buildings, bicycle-friendly roadways, and other ways to promote sustainability. Mayor Laurel Prossing says sustainability is a broad topic, but its end goal is critical, and cities need to pick up where federal leaders have been slow to react.
If we're running out of coal or whatever natural resources, then you have to start talking about how you can supply electricity and water and all the things that we need to live in a way that we're not going to be destroying the future for our grandchildren.
Urbana is one of the smaller cities that would be eligible for incentive grants under consideration in Congress. Those grants would help pay for a wide variety of conservation programs. But Prossing says sustainability programs are not only the right thing to do, they make short-term economic sense. A city-sponsored forum last night included experts on waste management and locally based food farming. For the latest newscast online, go to wyol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Every year at the state capitol, proposals surface that seek to restrict what types of guns people can carry, how many, and where they can carry them. Yesterday, members of the Illinois House debated two such measures during a legislative hearing. Both passed the committee and will now go on to the House floor. Amanda Vinicky reports on what each of the proposals aim to do and how recent gun crimes are playing a role in the political debate.
Denise Reed says her 14-year-old daughter, Starkeisha, was a good kid, an innocent child who didn't do drugs and wasn't in a gang. Reed says Starkeisha was merely looking out the window of their Chicago home one March morning nearly 3 years ago now, when a bullet shot from what she terms an assault weapon killed Starkeisha. Reed says the bullet had traveled nearly a full block.
It killed my daughter. It pierced through brick walls, through windows. It hit several homes on the block, cars and other buildings.
Reed and other parents of children killed from gunshots besieged lawmakers to pass a law that would ban so-called assault weapons, guns like 50 caliber rifles, from being manufactured or sold in Illinois.
And we're asking you today to ban assault weapons off of our streets. It could have saved my daughter's life had another type of weapon possibly been used because it was fired about a block away. But she had no chance because an AK-47 is a powerful weapon. It's an assault weapon. That's what it's called, and that's what it did.
While that measure would limit the types of guns that are legal in Illinois, another proposal would limit how often handguns could be purchased. Now, someone without a criminal record and who's not otherwise disqualified could buy as many handguns as they wish. This would limit them to buying one every 30 days. Chicago Police Sergeant John Cole says such a law would limit the number of straw purchases when someone who can do so legally buys guns, then sells them to criminals on the black market.
The one handgun a month restriction would limit the illegal flow of handguns and keep a large amount of handguns from hitting the streets before the straw purchaser comes up on the law enforcement radar. Even if the law prevents the straw purchaser from putting one less gun on the street, that could be huge.
However, the National Rifle Association's Todd Vandermeid says it's up to prosecutors to do a better job of punishing anyone who illegally sells a gun, rather than punishing law-abiding gun owners. Furthermore, he says, gun owners already have to go through too much in order to get a gun, something he says is a constitutionally protected right.
You have to have a FOID card. You go through a 30-day waiting period and a background check to obtain your FOID card. Then when you go to buy a handgun, you have to go through another background check and you go through another waiting period. When is enough enough? How much red tape? How many background checks? From our perspective, this isn't a reasonable restriction. This is a rationing of a right.
As for the assault weapons ban, Vandermeid says as a father of two young boys, he cannot fathom the devastation parents like Reed have gone through.
But I think the true question when you want to get down to the issues of gun violence is why do you have such a callous disregard for human life these days with some of the young people that we see? Why is it that these kids find it more acceptable to be a member of a gang and hang out on a street corner selling drugs than going to school? When you solve those issues, I think we'll solve the whole problem of gun violence.
Another opponent, National Shooting Sports Foundation lobbyist Joel Brunswold, says he believes the proposals both stem from the recent shootings at Northern Illinois University, during which students were killed by a gunman with mental health issues. He says neither of these proposals would have prevented such an incident.
What's the problem here? How do we solve this problem? Do we take all the cars away from drivers because there are some drunks killing people with automobiles? I don't think we do that. Do we take all guns away from everybody because there's a few people out there that have mental problems?
But Chicago Democratic Representative Edward Acevedo, who's sponsor of one of the measures, says he's appalled by the suggestion that his legislation was inspired by the NIU incident. He says it's about preventing future tragedies.
I understand the desire to protect the Second Amendment. Well, what about the Constitution's guarantee of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? These poor children who have been gunned down have lost their lives, liberty, and any pursuit of happiness.
Acevedo points out he's tried for years to get similar measures passed. However, he's never succeeded. And while the NIU tragedy is playing a role in some discussions, it's as yet unclear if that will change the fate of any gun-related proposals this legislative session. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
In our forecast for the region, mostly cloudy skies today with a high around 32 degrees. There's a chance of snow tonight, then rain or snow likely after midnight with accumulation of up to an inch with lows in the upper 20s. Temperatures steady or slowly rising after midnight. Cloudy skies Friday, a chance of rain in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon, the high around 38. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low around 22. Mostly sunny Saturday with a high around 42. And partly cloudy Saturday evening, the low around 32 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, February 28th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.